ولا تقتلوا النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق. Do not kill anyone whose killing Allah has forbidden. Now we can see the sanctity of human life in the Islamic perspective. What did we read? Whoever takes one life, it's as if he's killed all of mankind. And we Muslims have become so callous. Every day in the newspaper we read of all the murders that have been committed. And we shrug our shoulders and forget about it. Allah says, do not kill anyone whose killing Allah has forbidden, except for a just cause. And whoever is killed wrongfully, we have given his heir the authority. But let him not exceed limits in the matter of taking life. This refers to the law of qisas, whereby the victim's family can claim retribution that the murderer should be killed. Indeed, he is helped by the Islamic law. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ Do not come near the orphan's wealth, except to improve it, until he attains the age of full strength and fulfill every covenant. إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْئُولًا Indeed, the covenant will be asked about. What is this a reference to? Our social responsibilities. If we have anyone in our care who is weak or who needs our help or who is vulnerable, we're not supposed to exploit them. Do not even come near the orphan's wealth. Don't even think about embezzling it or about cheating him or exploiting him in any possible way until he attains the full strength, the age of full strength. When he attains maturity, then return his word to him and fulfill the covenant. What covenant is this? La ilaha illallah. We have all said la ilaha illallah, so all these instructions are binding upon us. And then every promise we take in the name of Allah. And we find that when people want to cheat widows and orphans, they'll come up swearing their most eloquent oaths, by Allah, I will help you. And then they cheat them. Allah reminds us the promise will be asked about. It's not just words that you utter and forget about. And give full measure when you measure and weigh with a balance that is straight. Honesty in our business dealings. We're not allowed to cheat anyone, Muslim or non-Muslim. ذَلِكَ خَيْرًا وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا That is good and better in the end. وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ Do not follow that of which you have no knowledge. What does this refer to? Our pursuits, our hobbies, our interests. After mentioning the people's rights upon us, after mentioning our social responsibilities, Allah mentions the value of our time. The Prophet ﷺ once said, the beauty of a man's Islam is when he leaves that which does not concern him. Now let's think about what it is that we spend our time doing. What do our interests center on? What are our hobbies? What are our pursuits? What are the things we love doing most of all? Allah says, do not follow that of which you have no knowledge. Don't follow something which is not going to benefit you, which is just wasting your time. Why? إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا Because the hearing and the sight and the heart of each one of those will be questioned by Allah. We'll be asked about, what was it that you were hearing? Now we can all think for ourselves, what is it that we spend our time hearing? What is it that we spend our time seeing? The sight is mentioned here and the heart. What is it that you used to love? What is it that you were dreaming about all the time? What has Allah told us? Allazina amanu ashaddu hubban lillah. Those who have iman are most intense, are most passionate in their love for Allah. What are our loves? What are our priorities? What are our dreams? Allah says you will be asked about your focus in life. You will be asked about your priorities. وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا And do not walk on the earth with conceit and arrogance. Now Allah rectifies our attitude towards people. The gait, because the way we walk signifies our own concept of ourselves. Indeed, you can neither rend nor penetrate the earth, nor can you attain a stature like the mountains in height. What is being forbidden here? Swaggering, strutting, flaunting yourself like models do. كُلُّ ذَلِكَ كَانَ سَيِّئُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ مَكْرُوهًا All the bad aspects of these are hateful to your Lord. Now we can see what a complete deen Islam is. And people say, oh, your heart should be pure and that's it. Allah knows my heart is pure, I don't need to prove myself to anyone. Don't be so judgmental. Allah is saying, all the bad aspects of these are hateful to your Lord. He hates them. ذَلِكَ مِمَّا أَوْحَى إِلَيْكَ رَبُّكَ مِنَ الْحِكْمَةِ This is part of wisdom which your Lord has revealed to you. Whom do we call wise? Someone who's made it by worldly standards. Whom is Allah calling wise? Someone who's attained this level, who's fulfilling these responsibilities to Allah and to man. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ Again Allah repeats, do not set up with Allah any other God, lest you should be thrown into hell, blameworthy and rejected. Why is shirk being repeated here? Because when we can't bear to obey Allah in all the things we've just read, then we're doing shirk. Because we're setting up our own desires as against Allah and saying, no, well, I love doing this too much and I can't bear to give it up for Allah. Allah says, do not set up with Allah any other God. What did the Prophet ﷺ tell us? The worst false god worshipped on earth is man's own nafs. And it's our nafs that makes us do these things that we've just read about. Lest you should be thrown into hell. Maluman madhura. Blameworthy and rejected. Has then your Lord preferred for you sons and taken for himself among the angels' daughters? Indeed, you indeed utter an awful saying, and surely we have explained our examples in this Quran, that they may take heed, but it increases them in nothing except aversion. Say, if there had been other gods along with him as they assert, then they would certainly have sought out a way to the Lord of the throne. If you look at Greek mythology and they believed in myriad gods, we find that the gods were always bickering and fighting. So Allah says shirk doesn't make sense. If there had been other gods, they would always have been bickering and disputing. Glorified and exalted be He, high above all that they say. The seven heavens and the earth and all that is therein glorify Him. And there is not a thing but glorifies His praise. وَلَكِ لَا تَفْقَحُونَ تَصْبِيحَهُمْ But you do not understand their praise. Indeed, Allah is ever forbearing of forgiving. And when you recite the Quran, we put between you and those who do not believe in the hereafter an invisible veil. And we have put coverings over their hearts, lest they should understand it and in their ears deafness. And when you make mention of your Lord alone in the Quran, they turn on their backs, fleeing in extreme dislike. We know best of what they listen to when they listen to you. And when they take secret counsel, then the wrongdoers say, you follow none but a bewitched man. See what examples they have put forward for you. So they have gone astray and never can they find a way. And they say, when we are bones and fragments, should we really be resurrected as a new creation? Say, be you stones or irons or some created thing that is yet harder in your breast, you will be resurrected. Then they will say, who shall bring us back to life? Say, he who created you first. Then they will shake their heads at you and say, when will that be? Tell them, perhaps it is near. On the day when he will call you and you will answer with his praise and obedience. And you will think that you have stayed in this world but a little while. And tell my slaves that they should only say those words that are best. In other words, even our speech is very important. Every word we utter can be for us or against us. What did the Prophet ﷺ tell us? Whoever believes in Allah in the last day, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ Let him speak good or let him keep quiet. Just keep quiet if you don't have anything good to say. Because shaitan sows a state of conflict and disagreements amongst them. Surely shaitan is to man a plain enemy. Your Lord knows you best. If He wills, He will have mercy on you. Or if He wills, He will punish you. And we have not sent you as a guardian over them. And your Lord knows best all who are in the heavens and the earth. And indeed, we have preferred some of the prophets above others. And to Dawud we gave the Psalms. Tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, call upon those besides him, whom you pretend to be gods like angels. Isa, Uzair and others, they have neither the power to remove adversity from you, nor even to shift it from you to another person. Again Allah reminds us that it's no good praying to anyone but Allah, because everyone else that we're calling to, whether they're angels, whether they're peers, whether they're prophets, they cannot help us or harm us. Those whom they call upon desire for themselves means of access to their Lord as to which of them should be the nearest. In other words, these prophets and these angels seek nearness to Allah themselves. They don't have the authority to gain anything for us with Allah. And they hope for His mercy and they fear His torment. Indeed, the torment of your Lord is something to be afraid of. And there is not a town, but we shall destroy it before the day of judgment, or punish it with a severe torment. That is written in the book of decrees. And nothing stops us from sending the signs, but that the people of old denied them. And we sent the she-camel to Samud as a clear sign, but they did her wrong. And we sent not the signs, except to warn and to make them afraid. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لَكَ And remember when we told you, indeed your Lord has encompassed mankind. People say, oh, I'm angry with Allah. Look at the power of these words. Your Lord has encompassed mankind. He cannot be asked about what he does. We shall be asked. And we did not make the vision which we showed you, but a trial for mankind. Many people might believe in everything and then they come to this incident in the Prophet's life and they say, oh, that's too far-fetched. We can't believe that he actually went up to the seven heavens. No, that's impossible. So Allah says this incident took place as a test for mankind's faith. And the accursed tree, Zakum, mentioned in the Quran. We warn and make them afraid, but it only increases them in nothing except great disbelief, oppression, and disobedience to Allah. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ And remember, when we said to the angels, prostrate yourselves before Adam, they prostrated themselves except Iblis. He said, shall I prostrate myself to one whom you created from clay? Shaitan said, see this one whom you have honored above me. If you give me respite to the day of judgment, I will surely seize and mislead his offspring, all but a few. And this is a very important conversation because Allah is giving us insight into the psyche of our enemy, Shaitan. Shaitan said, if you give me respite to the day of judgment, I will mislead all his offspring. And why is he doing this? Because Adam alayhi salam was honored above Shaitan. In other words, it was envy that led him to become arrogant. Ana khayru minhu. No, I am better than Adam. Why should I have to do sajda before Adam? Allah said, go, and whosoever of them follows you. Now we need to think about our actions. It's no good if we are voicing iman and pretending to be Muslims, but our actions are those of shaitan. Allah says, whosoever of them follows you, then surely hell will be the recompense of you, an ample recompense. وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجِلِكَ وَشَارِكْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ وَعِدْهُمْ وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا Befool them gradually, those whom you can among them with your voice. Make assaults on them with your cavalry and your infantry. We know Shaitan has many helpers amongst humans and jinns. Share with them wealth and children. When we use our wealth in ways which Allah doesn't wish, then we are using our wealth for shaitan. And when we raise our children in a way that Allah has not told us, then we are sharing our children with shaitan. And make promises to them. وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا And shaitan promises them nothing but deceit. Allah says over here, befool them gradually, those whom you can among them with your voice. What is the voice of shaitan? According to Tafsir ibn Kathir, the satanic voice refers to music and singing. And we find that Ibn Abbas and we find Mujahid's commentary on this as saying, O Satan, overwhelm them with idle pursuits, singing and music. Hafiz ibn Qayyim further comments that everyone knows that music and singing are the foremost invitation towards sin. We find in a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, Indeed Allah has forbidden for my ummah wine, gambling, the drum and the lute. In other words, all forms of music are forbidden except for the daf. Now let's look at the reason why is this forbidden. Because this is something people generally have problems accepting. No, but music soothes you and music is so good. You know, it just helps me to unwind and relax. Why is Allah forbidden this? The divine attribute behind the prohibition of music can be understood by looking into the influence music can have. Psychological experiments confirm that music does not only affect the brain, it affects every organ of the body. It is generally witnessed that music infuses animal instincts. This explains why motorists increase their speed when accompanied with music. you know, driving the car fast with the music at full blast. There's a close relationship between music and bodily movements. We find that people listening to music will automatically start tapping their fingers and feet as if the music is drumming in their blood. It has also been proven that music affects one's emotions, increases arousal in terms of alertness and excitement. If we remember, there was an incident, you know, in the newspapers a few days ago about this sick mass murderer who's murdered so many children. And, you know, interestingly enough, when they raided his apartment, you know what they found? They found cassettes of love songs. So many cassettes of love songs. And they found novels. Sick, obscene fiction. Now, there has to be a link behind it. And this is not just one instance. Someone else, I remember, was once saying that there was this man, and I think he was a rapist. And he was addicted to sick, obscene poetry and obscene music and, you know, love songs. According to this man, Frank, a person who has rock music in their lives has in their subconscious an influence that will cancel out all the power of the Word of God and power it can have in their lives. Now, basically, we need to understand that there is a reason for everything Allah forbids. It's for our own good. See, people say, oh, but music is so beautiful, and we're just enjoying the beauty of Allah's creation. What beauty has Allah told us to reflect upon? If we want music, we have the Quran. When Yusuf Islam, former Cat Stevens, was asked, well, don't you miss your music? He said, no, I have the Quran. The Quran is the most glorious music Allah has given us. Music distracts us. It makes us forget our true purpose of life, because we're so busy relaxing and unwinding that we relax too much. That's why Allah told us earlier on that your hearing, you'll be asked about what it was that you used to listen to. So when Allah speaks of shaitan's voice, we need to beware and be very careful about what it is that we listen to. Because shaitan makes promises to them, and shaitan promises them nothing but deceit. Inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan. Indeed, my slaves, you have no authority over them. And all sufficient is your Lord as a guardian. You read this ayat and you think of the ways shaitan's coming to attack you and you feel scared. So Allah reassures us, just develop your iman and shaitan cannot harm you. Your Lord is He who drives the ship for you through the sea in order that you may seek of His bounty. Truly He is most merciful towards you. And when harm touches you upon the sea, then those that you call upon vanish from you except Him. When we are in true trouble, when we are in true pain, who is it that relieves us from that pain? Not even our loved ones, only Allah. But when He brings you safe to land, you turn away. We make so many promises, I'll read so many prayers, I'll give this up, I'll give up lying, I'll give up gossip. And the minute that problem is over, we're back to our old selves. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ كَفُورًا. Look at the sadness in the words. And man is ever ungrateful. Do you then feel secure that He will not cause a side of the land to swallow you up? Or that He will not send against you a violent sandstorm? Then you shall find no one to guard you from the torment. Or do you feel secure that He will not send you back a second time to sea and send against you a hurricane of wind and drown you because of your disbelief? Then you will not find any avenger therein against us. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We honored the children of Adam. This is what shaitan could not bear. And we have carried them on land and sea, and we have provided them with lawful things, and we have preferred them above many of those whom we have created with a marked preferment. يَوْمَ نَدْعُ كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَانِهِمْ. Remember the day when we shall call together all human beings with their leaders. Now, after mentioning the way shaitan attacks us, Allah talks about leaders to make us think, who is our leader, whether we realize it or not. So whosoever is given his record in his right hand, such will read their records, and they will not be dealt with unjustly in the least. وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى. And whoever is blind in this world, فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى. He will be blind in the hereafter. What blindness is this? Spiritual blindness. I'm not ready for the Quran. Oh, the Quran is so frightening. The Quran is so boring. I don't have time for the Quran. Whoever is blind in this world, he shall be blind in the hereafter. And more stray from the path. Indeed, they were about to tempt you away from that which we have revealed to you, to fabricate something other than it against us. And then they would have taken you as an intimate friend. And had we not made you stand firm, you would have inclined to them a little. In that case, we would have made you taste a double portion of punishment in this life and a double portion of punishment after death. ثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُ لَكَ عَلَيْنَا نَصِيرًا. And then you would have found none to help you against us. Now, what does this ayat mean? It does not mean that Na'uzubillah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going to compromise on his deen, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going to disobey Allah. The address is to the ummah. What is Allah teaching us? No compromise, no apologies. La ilaha illallah means that we are obeying Allah above all, fearing Allah above all, not following our culture or our friends or our society. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, La takhaf billahi lawma talaim. Do not be afraid for Allah's sake of the blame of anyone who blames. In other words, if you're doing something for Allah's sake, then don't be intimidated by what people have to say, by what people have to call you. Indeed, they were about to frighten you so much as to drive you out from the land. But in that case, they would not have stayed after you except for a little. This was our way with the messengers we sent before you, and you will not find any alteration in our way. Aqim as-salah, establish salah, from midday till the darkness of the night. Wa Qur'an al-fajri, and recite the Qur'an in the early dawn. Inna Qur'an al-fajri kana mashhuda. Indeed, the recitation of the Qur'an in the early dawn is witnessed. Who is it witnessed by? By the angels. Hazrat Abu Huraira said that recite the holy book if you wish, for indeed the recitation of the holy Qur'an in the early dawn is witnessed, that is, it is attended by the angels. And this refers to tilawah during the prayer, that we should recite the Qur'an aloud while we're reading our fajr, and after reading fajr also we should recite the Qur'an. And in some parts of the night, also offer the prayer as an additional prayer. Now we know tahajjud was farz upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asa an yab'athaka rabbuka maqaman mahmuda. It may be that your Lord will raise you to a station of praise and glory. What is this maqaman mahmuda? According to some scholars, this refers to maqam al-shafa'a, the place where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will stand when he will be given the honor of intercession. And when he will stand at that place, he will praise Allah and people will praise him. وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَدْخِلْنِي مُدْخَلَ صِدْقٍ. And say, O my Lord, let my entry be good, and let my exit be good, and grant me from you an authority to help me. Why is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being told to pray for an authority? We need to understand that this dua was before Hijrah took place, so it was a preparation for Hijrah. In other words, Allah is teaching us that we can use power to implement Allah's law. Power is not discouraged, it's not condemned if we're using it for good. وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَّحَقَ الْبَاطِلُ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. This is one of the most magnificent ayahs in the Qur'an. We find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited it when he was smashing the idols in the Kaaba. Now the time this ayat was revealed, the Muslims were being persecuted. They hadn't yet migrated to Medina. And it must have seemed far-fetched to the kuffar. But Allah made it come true. Tell them, truth has come and falsehood has vanished. Indeed, falsehood is bound to vanish. And we send down of the Qur'an that which is a healing and a mercy to those who believe. And it increases the wrongdoers in nothing but loss. Now after listening to Allah's commands today, what has our response been? A grudging resentment? No, no, that's too difficult. I can't give that up. Or has our response been, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We hear and we obey, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us, Al-Qur'an hujjatun lak aw alayk. The Qur'an will either be an argument for you or against you. If we heard it, acted upon it, conveyed it, inshallah it will intercede for us. But if God forbid we listened to it, taught it and did not act upon it, then the Qur'an will speak against us. And when we bestow our grace on man, he turns away and becomes arrogant. And when evil touches him, he is in great despair. Tell them each one does according to his way, and your Lord knows best of him whose path is right. And they ask you concerning the spirit. Tell them the spirit is one of the things, the knowledge of which is only with my Lord. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Of knowledge you have been given but a little. And if we will, we could surely take away that which we have revealed to you. Then you would find no protector for you against us in this respect, except as a mercy from your Lord. This Qur'an is Allah's greatest mercy, His gift of love to us. And what is our attitude towards the Qur'an? Oh, I don't want to read the Qur'an, because if I know, then I have to act upon it. Look at what Allah is saying, it's a mercy from your Lord. Indeed, His grace to you is ever great. Say, if the mankind and the jinn were together to produce the like of this Qur'an, they could not produce the like thereof, even if they helped one another. Now this challenge which we've read before, we find a beautiful hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah sent down this Qur'an to command and prevent and as a sunnah to be followed and a parable. It contains your history, information about what came before you, news about what will come after you, and correct judgment between you. Repetition does not wear it out. Every time you open the Quran, it's like you're reading it for the first time. And its wonders do not end. It is the truth. It is not a joke. Whoever recites it speaks the truth. Whoever judges by it is just. Whoever argues by it wins. Whoever divides by it is equitable. Whoever acts by it is rewarded. And that's what we need to focus on. Whoever clings to it is guided to a straight path. Allah will misguide whoever seeks guidance from other than it. Allah will destroy whoever judges by other than it. It is the wise remembrance, the clear light, the straight path, the firm rope of Allah, and the useful healing. It is a protection for the one who clings to it, and a rescue for the one who follows it. It is not crooked, and so it puts things straight. It does not deviate so as to be blamed. Its wonders do not cease. It does not wear out with much repetition. Tell them, if mankind and jinn were together to produce the like of this Quran, they could not produce the like thereof, even if they helped one another, and no one has been able to answer this challenge. And indeed, we have fully explained to mankind in this Quran every kind of example, but most of mankind refuse nothing but disbelief, nothing but disobedience. We've read the Quran, we know what's in it, but still we persist in our sinful ways. And they say, we shall not believe in you until you cause a spring to gush forth from the earth for us. Or you have a garden of date palms and grapes and cause rivers to gush forth in their midst abundantly. Or you cause the heaven to fall upon us in pieces, as you have pretended. Or you bring Allah and the angels before us, face to face. Or you have a house of pure gold. Or you ascend up to the sky. And even then we will put no faith in your ascension until you bring down for us a book that we would read. Tell them, glorified is my Lord. Am I anything but a man sent as a messenger? Now he's saying it here that he's a human being, albeit the most exalted of human beings, but a human being. And nothing prevented men from believing when the guidance came to them, except that they said, has Allah sent a man as his messenger? Tell them, if there were on the earth angels walking about in peace, we would certainly have sent down for them from the heaven an angel as a messenger. Why should Allah have sent an angel? We could never have followed an angel. It was imperative that we had a human being before us, someone whom we would be able to emulate. Tell them, sufficient is Allah for a witness between me and you. Indeed, He is ever the All-Knower, the All-Seer of His slaves. And he whom Allah guides, he is led aright. But he whom Allah sends astray, for such you will find no helpers besides Him. Whom does Allah send astray? Someone who doesn't want to listen. And we shall gather them together on the day of judgment on their faces, blind, dumb, and deaf. Their abode will be hell. Whenever it abates, we shall increase for them the fierceness of the fire. That is their recompense because they denied our signs and said, when your bones and fragments shall we really be raised up as a new creation? Do they not see that Allah who created the heavens and the earth is able to create the like of them? And He has decreed for them an appointed term, whereof there is no doubt, but the wrongdoers refuse but disbelief. قُلْ لَوْ أَنْتُمْ تَمْلِكُونَ خَزَائِنَ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّي. Tell them, if you possess the treasures of the mercy of my Lord, then you would surely hold back from spending, and man is ever miserly. And indeed we gave Musa 9 clear signs. Ask then the children of Israel when he came to them. Then Fir'aun said to him, O Musa, I think you are indeed bewitched. Musa said, indeed you know these signs have been sent by none but the Lord of the heavens and the earth. We too have read the signs of the Lord of the heavens and the earth today. What will our response be? And I think you are indeed, O Fir'aun, doomed to destruction. So he resolved to turn them out of the land, but we drowned him and all who were with him. And we said to the children of Israel after him, dwell in the land then when the final and the last promise comes near. We shall bring you all together as a mixed crowd. وبالحق أنزلناه. And with truth we have sent it down. And with truth it has descended. And we have sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as nothing but a bearer of good news and as a warner. And it is a Quran which we have divided in order that you might recite it to men at intervals. And we have revealed it by stages. Tell them, believe in it or do not believe in it. It's up to us. We've read the verses today. No, the option is ours. The choice is ours. Whether we wish to obey Allah or we wish to disobey. Indeed, those who were given knowledge before it, when it is recited to them, fall down on their faces in humble prostration. And they say, glory be to our Lord. Truly the promise of our Lord must be fulfilled. And they fall down on their faces weeping. وَيَزِيدُهُمْ خُشُوعًا. It increases their humility. How does the Quran affect us? What's our response? No, no, that's too difficult. Let me think about it. I'm not ready for it yet. Look at these people. Allah says, I don't need your ibadat. You don't want to obey me? Fine, don't obey me. Tell them, invoke Allah or invoke Ar-Rahman. By whatever name you call to Him, it is the same. For to Him belong the beautiful names. And offer your salat. Neither aloud nor in a low voice, but follow a way between. وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الظُّلِّ وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. Tell them, all praises are for Allah, who has not begotten a son, and who has no partner in His dominion, nor does He have a supporter, and magnify Him with all magnificence.